John the Baptist is a pretty key character in Scripture. Think about the Bible as being in a timeline. All the things happening to the Israelites. There were different times where things would change slightly. Different people would come up on the scene. Different prophets would be called, some to console, some to challenge, some to mourn with the people when they were going through tough times, some to rejoice, to give them hope. Think of Route 2. We know this is Ritchie Highway right out in front of us, right? You keep going north and keep going north. Route 2 takes on different names in different times, and the scenery can be quite different than what we see right out here in front of us, right? Think of that in terms of the Bible timeline. When John the Baptist comes on the scene, he was so different than anyone who'd come before. John was identified as the last of the prophets. And here's some things that was unique about John. And dear friends, today I'd put to you that John the Baptist and we as church, you and I, and we as church together, are really the continuation of John the Baptist in our world. Here's what was different about John. John, from the time he was in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, who was up there in years, no one thought she could have a child. When the news came, Zechariah, her husband, said, "This is silly, this can't happen." He was struck mute. Ladies, want to get your husbands to be quiet? Just an idea. When is his lips open again? When he says his name is John. He finally assents that this is God's plan. But what happens before that? When we pray the rosary, we do the mystery of the visitation, Mary visiting Elizabeth, pregnant Mary, traveling the distance to her older relative. John the Baptist is in the womb of his mom. How does he respond? Elizabeth says, "So strong is this presence that even the child in my womb leapt for joy." John the Baptist was the first to welcome Christ. He was the very first. But it didn't stop there. As he got older, John must have had a pretty charismatic personality. He attracted disciples, followers. They were mesmerized by his teaching, by his lifestyle. He was different than anyone they had seen, and they wanted to learn. But the thing was, they came to find out that John wasn't the one. John wasn't the Messiah. John just kept saying over and over, "There's one to come after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to unstrap." He points to Jesus at a distance and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He welcomed Christ when he was leaping in his mother's womb, but he pointed others to Christ. They were attracted to him. He deflected them to Jesus. My dear friends, today I'd put to you that that is why we as church continue to exist today. To welcome and to point. There should not be a person that does not feel like they're invited into communion with us, like they are welcomed when they come in the door of the church. But it shouldn't be that they're just here because we're good people or we're nice people, although we know that's certainly true, right? This is an awesome community. But our job is to be like John. Keep pointing to Jesus. He must increase, we must decrease. Do we believe that? That he must increase, we must decrease. Do you believe it? Yes. Let's see if you agree in a minute. Because what happened when he increased and John decreased? It got hard for John. Actually, literally, it cost him his head. Because he kept pointing to Jesus and he wouldn't stop pointing to Jesus. You know, to do that, I can only imagine what John's options would have been in life. He had a following. He had people who were mesmerized by him. He could have started his own little sect, his own little group, and has kind of been pretty insular about it all. But no, he broke them up. He really broke them up and said, go to him. Follow him. Be his disciples. You know, in my whole priesthood, I've never gotten as many comments on a homily or a homily series as were received when we did that preaching series a few months ago on praying with Scripture. You think about it. How do we encounter Christ? How do we welcome Christ? We welcome him in the Eucharist, hopefully, when we receive him, when we adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. We welcome him in people who are coming in around us. We welcome him in his word as it's proclaimed. You know, we open the words of Scripture, we hear it at Mass or pray with it privately. When those words start jumping off the page, God's Spirit is working. I can't begin to even count the number of emails or conversations I had of folks saying, this is what I got from the Scripture today. And beautifully, wonderfully, sometimes it had nothing to do with anything we had talked about. But words jumped out that were unique to each person. When we have that encounter with Christ, Jesus wants to really get into and bring us into a deeper relationship. And then we have a job. If we want to grow spiritually, if we want to continue to deepen our relationship with Jesus, it really comes down to serving. John welcomed him, turned over in his mother's womb, but then pointed others to Jesus. And that has a lot to do with the posture that we have in terms of being invitational and welcoming, not just at the doors of the church, but in our hearts, in our lives. Many of you know that I and several members of the staff were at the Divine Renovation Conference up in Halifax last week. And as we were up there, it was really a great time. It's one of those times where you get exhausted, but it's a good exhausted, where you feel like you've been emptied of everything, and you're just being filled up in the process, but you know, you're really tired when it's all done. It's almost like that giddiness, that giddy joy that happens after a huge celebration. Think of a big family wedding or a big occasion. That's kind of how I felt afterwards. But one of the things that happened up there that really edified me was that it was hosted at a parish. It was an international conference in scope, in the sense of there were people attending there thirsting, hungering for parish renewal in nations where the church is really, really suffering. Particularly in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, Malaysia, Germany, France, Spain, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. They just kept going on. I met so many folks. There were maybe 650, 700 participants in the conference. And it was phenomenal. But at the end, they had all those who supported the conference as volunteers in that parish, a parish of 1,500 worshipers on a weekend. That number is important. They had them march down the aisle into the church and gather in the sanctuary. There were over 300 people who did music, who did tech support, who did live streaming on the internet so people could, they had thousands watching online in addition. People doing music, people who brought their cars and parked them at the curb, and anyone that needed a ride to their hotel or to go get something to eat or whatever they needed, they could just go and say, take me here, and they would take them. They were, you know, hospitality, cooking, serving, greeting, all of those things. And I'll have to tell you for a moment there, I had pastor envy. I was like, wow, wouldn't that be great if we had that at St. John's? You ever have those mountaintop experiences? Now, it didn't take long. As you saw all these children up here singing today, on Friday they had their closing assembly before lunch over in the PAC, the Parish Activity Center. And the kids sang, and the parents were there, and the volunteers were there. We had 160 children at Vacation Bible School this week. And do you know how many volunteers helped to support that program, of which I am aware? 67. Now do the math. The ratio is pretty close to what I just quoted you from Halifax. It hit me as I was walking over to the office after the lunch over there on Friday. The Holy Spirit, I'm convinced, whispered in my ear. You know what he said? You're an idiot. Now, boys and girls, don't use that language. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. He said, you're an idiot. You're pining for something there. You've got it here. Just grow it. Just grow it. The mission's not something far off. The mission's here. And it's not that it's something that's going to happen in the future. It's happening now. We just got to grow it. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that we must increase, he must decrease? And the way that we decrease is where we step out in faith and say, I'm going to have a part of this. The change is going to begin with me. I asked those volunteers up there, not all 300, but mind you, but I kind of expected an answer from them when I said, how'd you get involved in this? How'd you get recruited for this? Now, you know exactly what I thought some of them were going to say. Well, my wife was doing it and she said I had to help. Or, you know, Father cornered me and said, will you do this? And I said, okay. That had nothing to do with it. Here's how most of them started out. Well, you know, I went to this program called Alpha. And I got to know some people and they were involved in some things and they invited me. That was the typical response. You know, this past Alpha that we had this last season, we had a little gathering not long after that. Six of the people attending that session had gone to Alpha and now want to become Catholic. One of them has proclaimed that he has founded a ministry in the parish, the Hug Ministry. He's the only member. He's not even baptized. He's sitting in the second row. If you want to join his Hug Ministry, go over, but he can be a little grabby. It's when we let ourselves decrease that Jesus can increase. My dear friends, this preaching series, these 2 weeks, I asked you the question before Mass, will you be one of the 511? 5:11 came from a meeting that we had not long ago, a few months back, where we started planning for the year. We said, what is it that we need not to do better, not to do well, not to be healthy, but to excel? Where are the areas that we need to pump up, to really invest in, to form leaders who form leaders who form leaders who have doers? And there were three areas that really came up, and it came that we needed 511 people to step up. Roughly the same percentages as we were talking about before when you look at the numbers of our worshiping community. And they were areas in faith formation as we take a new direction to get out of a classroom and into a circle, to form relationships with kids and their families, in introducing them into a relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. We see it in group leaders for our middle school, our high school, our adult programs. People who don't have to teach, just be with and listen. We saw a need for hospitality, to really bring it to a new level. Some of you have a charism for this. You know how to set a table. You know how to smile. You know how to shake a hand. You now know how to hug. Or Greco-Roman wrestle, whichever the case may be. And the other one was liturgical ministry. To be able to offer the chalice at every Mass. to be able to make sure our liturgies grow in vibrancy, in attractiveness, in that posture of invitation and welcome. That's the picture of the church that we need to be. And I ask you, Father Michael and I ask you, will you be one of the 511? And now today, I'm not going to ask you to do anything right now except to send you off today after this Mass and make a commitment to pray, to spend some time with Jesus today. Think about John the Baptist, how you can be that bridge. You can be that welcomer. You can be that pointer to bring people into a closer relationship with Jesus. God will tell you what you're supposed to do. Here's the promise that I will make to you. Next week, we will lay out in detail the needs as we've discerned them. What is involved, what that commitment looks like. And if you step up and give it a try, if you find out that it's not for you, you can back off. No questions asked. The only thing I would say is I would then challenge you to say, find out where God may be calling you as part of discernment. So that's the first promise I'd make to you. The second promise is that you'll be thanked. And you'll be thanked in ways that you will never imagine. You'll be thanked like one couple in this parish was thanked yesterday when a mom and a dad who were helping to prepare their child for First Communion were noticed by this couple, and it was noticed that they, mom and dad, weren't receiving communion because they had been away from the sacraments for so long. They needed to have their marriage blessed in the church. This couple saw them, reached out to them. God put them on their heart, spent time with them, got to know them. Yesterday, they had a beautiful wedding here in church, surrounded by family, by friends. What a huge thank you that was. That's called accompaniment. And I think that's really, we have it here. It is here. We just need to continue growing it, dear friends. Because we have it in pockets. Imagine if you and I really get intentional about it and let it seep in to every corner of this community. That's not just a nice thing. That's a culture. That's a community. So all I ask you this week is to seriously spend some time with the Lord. Maybe make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Read Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit speak. And don't get turned off if He calls you an idiot. Sometimes they have to. But just be open to whatever it is that God wants. Because I really do believe God has an awesome plan for this community. Amen.